we know today as DuPont, Washington, is the ancestral homeland to a familial band of the Nisqually tribe, the Sequalachu. Sequalachu is said to mean long, run-out tide, describing the beach at the mouth of the creek. Their village consisted of two longhouses and was primarily used in the summer. The water that runs through the Sequalachu Creek comes from springs at the northeasternmost corner of Sequalachu Lake. The creek itself stems from the westernmost dip of the lake. Running past Edmonds Marsh, it supplies the area with fresh water before joining with the ocean in the Puget Sound. The Sequalachu Creek gave the Nisqually people fish and fresh water. As recently as two generations ago, native people caught from 3,500 to 4,000 fish annually on the Sequalachu Creek. Today, DuPont is home to about 7,000 residents, including a substantial amount of veterans and military personnel who work in neighboring Fort Lewis. It is the location of a handful of corporate headquarters, a downtown shopping district, and residential developments. The history of this place has been layered over by generations of communities created with the intention of seeking profit. The first of many corporations found their way to Sequalachu Creek in the spring of 1832, with the arrival of the Hudson Bay Company. The British Company established Fort Nisqually on a hill about equidistant from the shoreline and the creek.
They were in Nisqually country, and Nisqually country was all of the Nisqually River Basin.
Fort Nisqually became the first white settlement on the Puget Sound and served mainly as a fur trading post. Tribes from near and far came to this place to trade pelts. The location was a central place for business, setting the tone for a long history of profiteers. In 1843, the Hudson Bay Company moved the fort site closer to the creek.
Fort Nisqually became the agricultural company. They had farms out on the prairie, out by Yelm, out by Elk Plain, out towards the mountain highway. And they were all that prairie land was utilized.
Nisqually people worked on the agricultural company's farms.
They usually paid them a shirt or some food, or instead of working for money, they worked for something that they wanted. That was their exchange.
The agricultural company planted foreign species and brought in sheep and Spanish longhorn cattle.
They had a lot of cattle and a lot of sheep they herded. There was ranch shacks all over the place. You know, when you start grazing and they eat everything down, including the camas, then there isn't nothing.
When grass stops coming up, one of the first things to start spreading is fir trees. The area became more wooded, and the once abundant camas began to grow few and far between. The agricultural company quit after 32 years and sold all of their holdings to the Dominion of Canada. Eventually, Canada and the states agreed on who belonged on which side of what parallel. The land became Oregon Territory in 1853, and then became the state of Washington in 1889. By this time, the Medicine Creek Treaty had been passed, and the Nisqually Reservation had been established. The Sequalachu Band was included in this reservation, and control of their traditional land and creek was taken away from them. In 1906, the E.I. DuPont de Nemours Company moved in, buying land from established settlers. They opened a black powder works factory. With settlement came dynamite. The company town of DuPont was established at this time for the workers.
And of course, this path would goes right back, a little bit convoluted, goes right back to the village, and would have been one of the routes that they actually, the DuPont powdermen actually went to work.
Oh, really? This here?
Crossing this path, the DuPont Company built a narrow-gauge railroad along the north side of Sequalachu Creek to transport their dynamite to the wharf. The rail permanently altered the banks of the creek, decreasing natural growth and flattening ridges.
Sequalachu Creek had a very substantial salmon run. In fact, one story that we have is of young boys going down to Sequalachu Creek and just fishing by hand. Later, the creek, as you know now, is primarily dry, very small trickle of activity at this time. And it has actually been dammed farther up for the fort use.
In the 1950s, Fort Lewis tapped the springs in Sequalachu Lake as a domestic water source and constructed a diversion dam at the mouth of the lake, where the Sequalachu Creek begins. Fort Lewis promised that the water levels of the creek would be maintained, but water levels have dropped significantly because of these developments.
The lake died. I mean, they don't have no oxygen anymore, so you can't raise fish, you know. So it's just, and I think something changed in the chemistry of that area where the lake is, and that's why you'll see spots where there is water, spots where there isn't no water. What happened is that creek went back underground again until you get right down to the bluff, then it comes back out again. So it disappeared, went down into the earth.
In 1976, DuPont Company sold its land to Weyerhaeuser.
Weyerhaeuser actually purchased the land to have a log export facility here. At the same time, things are changing. There was a lot of controversy of the spotted owl was an endangered species, and that prevented logging in large areas. Also, at the same time, logs were no longer being milled here. They were being shipped to the Orient and then milled and shipped back here for sale. That changed the plans for Weyerhaeuser. They no longer needed a timber export facility. And these 3,200 acres that Weyerhaeuser then owned changed to Northwest Landing Development.
Weyerhaeuser wanted to build a full-spectrum forest products facility. Grassroots organizing against a timber export facility forced Weyerhaeuser to use their other corporate branch, Weyerhaeuser Real Estate Company, and they created an intentional community, complete with job security. Before any houses could go up, the soil had to be cleaned. During the 70 years that DuPont Powder Works had operated as a factory, many chemicals dissipated into the soil. Weyerhaeuser began an investigation of the toxic presence on the site. Among the found contaminants were arsenic, mercury, cadmium, and lead. When removing the topsoil, Weyerhaeuser found archaeological items pertaining to the original Sequalchie people. A historical committee was founded on the basis of identifying, restoring, and archiving these items for the Nisqually tribe. Some items found were tools, shell mitten, and burials.
The DuPont Company had moved out, and it was just sitting there. Kept asking about Weyerhaeuser purchasing the land and what we as a tribe was going to do about it. They had to have an agreement with the tribe as far as these artifacts were concerned.
We do have still have burials out there, and I know they've built over some of them. And there was bones that were found, and they kept moving around and moving. I guess they reburied, and we reburied some bones out there close to the golf course before it was finished. It was a box of bones that they sent from up to the UW. That's where they sent them to when they dug them up instead of contacting the tribe first. And then they contacted us, and then we got them back, and we had a reburial of them out there before the golf course was finished.
The land, historical and sacred to the Nisqually people, was turned into the Home Course golf course. Weyerhaeuser has a real estate company, which runs a large number of development corporations, including Quadrant Corporation, the largest developer in the Northwest. Northwest Landing and Meridian Campus belong to Quadrant, and they make up every single residence in DuPont. DuPont is 3,700 acres. Around 3,000 of these acres are owned by the Weyerhaeuser Real Estate Company. Just as the town began, DuPont is still and may always be a company town. What doesn't belong to Weyerhaeuser belongs to a few other companies and corporations that Weyerhaeuser has sold or leased land to, like State Farm, Intel, and Glacier Northwest. Glacier Northwest has operated a sand and gravel mine in DuPont since 1997. In January, the town of DuPont approved the mining company's expansion. Sand and gravel mining cuts into the dirt so deep that it disrupts the underground water, or aquifer. It also creates polluted runoff water. There is a hearing scheduled for April 29, 2009, for the public to share their feelings about the expansion at DuPont City Hall. The future of DuPont rests in the discourse between their citizens and the Nisqually tribe. As a space of intention, DuPont's resource extraction and development expansion has acted upon a land use doctrine to attain the most profit. This is the legacy of the land. Many new buildings are coming up to reshape the look of the city, including a new town hall and historical museum. The Nisqually tribe is building a new longhouse for ceremony near to burial sites on the home course. It will be used for the canoe journey of 2012.